الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، محمد رسول الله، صدق الله العظيم. Before we start our subject, we have come to the end of Ramadan, and the end of everything is the most important. The end of our life, we all understand how the end of our life comes. When the end of our life comes, nobody celebrates, makes a party, calls all people, but we are worried at that time, those people who have got the reality, whether we have pleased Allah or we have displeased Him. Whether we are going with Iman or whether we are going without Iman. That worry. At the end of every Amal, we see the greatest Amal is Namaz, Salat. And the greatest teacher was Sayyiduna Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The greatest student that ever could be Sayyiduna Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. And at the end of the Namaz, the dua that was taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira, that I've done a wrong, great wrong, please forgive me. He made a namaz. Namaz is not a wrong, it's such a great, it is the greatest of the ibadat, but that we could not do it properly. So like that, the end of everything should be like that. Whether it is our studies, a student who studies and he completes, he comes to the end, it's not really a time to celebrate and dawahs and that. But it is more to be concerned whether all my studies of the years, have they been accepted by Allah or not. If we're making effort of deen anywhere, towards the end we end in jamaat, we spend 40 days, 4 months, 1 year, whatever period. At the end, it mustn't be like partying now. But it must be more that concern. And we see, like the picture is given to us so clearly, when Makkah Sharif was conquered and how it was conquered. And in fact, Hinda, the wife of Abu Sufyan, was expecting also, like the people of the world, that there will be celebration, there will be drinking, there will be raping of women, there will be plundering, murdering. But when she went to, when tried to find out, she found somebody in ruku, rukka'an, sujjadan, yabtaguna fadlam min Allahi wa ridwana. She found that picture, a complete different picture. Somebody in dua, somebody in tawaf. So like that, the end of an amal should come. Now we are also at the end of this amal of our Ramadan, whether it was a 40-day itikaf program, 30 days, 20 days, 10 days, few days. But the end, like with namaz at the end, we should be concerned. That is a sign of acceptance, if that concern. And if it is a sign, and if it is the jubilation and partying and like becoming jovial, like if we come out of the itikaf, like we were in a prison, like we were in a cage, a bird in a cage, now we are free. Then, like normally, children also in a class, when they come out, you see them now, they're shouting, they're running, they're jumping, you see them like wild. They're not worried how they're running, etc. If that is our case, that now we just want to get home, and we are just out of the prison, then that is not a good sign. But if we feel that this itikaf should carry on, it's a pity it has come to an end. And I don't know how did I spend my Ramadan. I don't know if Allah is pleased with me or not. Then that is a good sign. So Allah make it for all of us that we have that, whether we were in itikaf or not, for all, for the Muslims at large, our month of Ramadan, that at the end we can see, get a sign that how we have passed it. If we are feeling that I didn't do not enough, but I did nothing really. In fact, I did all negative, minus things. My namaz was minus. My everything was minus. The end, that sorrow is there. The great buzurgs of the past, for half of the year after Ramadan, they should be sorrowful that we did not appreciate the Ramadan. We did not look after it properly. The next half, they should prepare for the next year's Ramadan. they lived around Ramadan. How great Ramadan. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullah Ali says, when the moon for Eid is sighted now, but Eid for tomorrow, Ramadan, this Eid, then people normally become happy. It's Eid now. Ramadan is over. Now we don't have to stay hungry. No more Taraweeh. No more getting up for Siri. But he says, my joy, I do feel joy. But what is the joy? That now is the season of Hajj has started, which is called the Mawsam, Ashur-e-Hajj. The months of Hajj have started from Shawwal, the season of Hajj, that now is in a sense that you have purified yourself, you brought yourself to that level, Allah says, now you can come and visit me. Hajj means to come and visit, to visit the house of Allah Ta'ala, now you can go and visit Allah Ta'ala. So that should be the joy, that now these great months are coming. So Allah give us tawfiq to understand. And now whatever we had done in Ramadan, Alhamdulillah, inshallah, every Muslim in the world, we did something better than what we were doing before. Like even a person who wasn't keeping roza, but he was hiding and eating. A person who was a drunk, alcoholic, but he didn't drink openly. So now after Ramadan, it should now be, we should increase on that. For many of us, all of us, generally, we know rozas out of Ramadan. Ramadan, we kept 30 rozas, mashallah. Now after Ramadan, also we should try and keep some, the 6 rozas of Shawwal, we should try and keep. And then the 9, 10 rozas, which are referred to as 10, 9 rozas of Zulhijjah. Then Muharram's 2 rozas. We should try and keep these rozas 3 days a month, Monday, Thursday, whatever Allah gives us tawfiq, but something we should carry on. Of course, the whole atmosphere and environment won't be like what it is for Ramadan. That is exclusive for Ramadan. But the some effect of it must come in our lives. Ramadan, many of us who are not so regular with our namazes, we made a point that Ramadan, I must make my namazes properly. I must make them with Jamaat, with Takbir-e-Ula. Now let us not fall back to where we were before Ramadan. We can't be like it was Ramadan the whole year. There are those bandas of Allah who make Hazrat Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah Ali, his life in Ramadan and out of Ramadan, he couldn't add, there was no room to add anything else. It was full already. There wasn't anything. So there are many of such Allah's bandas whose life is like Ramadan throughout the year. But for us generally, that we try and do a little bit more in Ramadan. So out of Ramadan, now at least let us try and carry on, at least with our namazes. Mainly, one special feature of Ramadan, tilawat of Quran Sharif. Let it not be now that we close our tilawat. Ramadan is finished, now no tilawat. Or only Friday we will read. We will just read Surah Kahf, for example. Or we just now and then we read. Or that we don't read at all. It shouldn't be the case. How many huffaz also who don't read the Quran during the year, which are usually called Ramzani Hafiz. They don't read the Quran in Ramadan. But it should be. So if that is a condition, some condition of a Hafiz, then we who are not Hafiz, what is our condition? So there should be Quran Sharif. If we were reading one Supara a day in Ramadan, some of us, mashallah, we took the record, and there were some brothers who really read a lot, who made a khatam a day, a few brothers. Others read 10 suparas a day, 5 suparas a day, and whatever we were, but now after Ramadan, at least the minimum, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, one khatam every Muslim must make in Ramadan, and one khatam out of Ramadan. 2 khatams a year we should make. So at least one khatam in the whole year. And that is really very, very, very little. And that we can easily manage that if we just read about 3-4 pages a day. And like mashallah, there were some friends who we knew, they every namaz just come a little bit earlier, little bit. Or just sit a little back. If you read one page for every namaz, your 5 pages a day, your khatam in the whole year is very comfortable. Without any difficulty, your whole khatam will be done in the year. Women folk should read a little bit more. Because their monthlies come, those days they cannot read between 5 days, 10 days maybe, so about a third of the month. So if they read a little bit more with every namaz, the best is very good that we sit down and we allocate our 15 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour to read Quran Sharif. But this, in this way, in a very easy way, we can manage it with every namaz, and very comfortably we can bring Quran Sharif into our lives. And a person who will read just one page every namaz time, everyone will see, but he reads lot Quran. He'll be only reading one page, but whenever they see he's sitting with the Quran, it will look, and inshallah Allah will declare him as such. That this person, whenever you see he's reading Quran, and a good practice is, morning we should be reading, at night read. So every time, even just one page, half a page, we are encouraged to read 10 ayats in the morning, 10 ayats at night, whatever it is. So inshallah, our dhikr, this is an area that most of us will become very negligent. Here we were doing it collectively, our dhikr was getting done. But usually our dhikr we don't do. And then a person, almost all our problems is because of negligence of dhikr. After all, as Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, that the most command that has come so repeatedly in the Quran Sharif is of zikr, the most. And most places, make it most, make it in abundance. So there is a really, really great value of the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. Even, mashallah, all of us are to some extent associated with tabligh work, our three tasbihat also. And we find generally when the kar guzari is taken, when we are in jamaat also, we are not doing the three tasbihs. We are not completing third kalima, durood sharif, istighfar. That also is so valuable. A person who will just do that, one tasbih 100 times, third kalima, durood sharif, istighfar, every day, he will openly see the difference in his life. Just give it a chance of about 6 weeks, 40 days, but do it regularly and see. And yeah, with the additional zikr of 100 times, La ilaha illallah, 100 times Allah, just do it regularly and for yourself, you will see our problems which we are having will just evaporate. And when a thing evaporates, you don't know where it's gone. You don't know where, not even in thin air. Where it's gone, you won't know. But unfortunately, this is how the world is, that what is most beneficial, we are most unmindful of it. So the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, Quran Sharif tilawat is also included in zikr. Durood Sharif is also included. And these are so valuable things. So let it not happen that when we go from here, that we start partying, that we will eat, and then at home we eat again. Tomorrow, which for us, generally Eid is just a day of eating. Everywhere, if we go and visit families also, everywhere, and eating rich, rich food, and unhealthy food in most cases. So we are really harming ourselves more. A person who can control himself on Eid's day. We were surprised once, one auntie from India was visiting here for quite a while. Eid time she was with us, and on Eid day she hardly ate. So we say, I'm not eating. She says that no, whole month your stomach was not adjusted to it. So now you can't just suddenly start eating again. Even the normal eating, which was less. But even that she wasn't doing. But we just unfortunately go like wild. Eh? Just like when we never saw food whole Ramzan. Eh? Those like, we will say that whole Ramzan, Khanka food wasn't nice. Now the wife's food, house food. Now this is our food now. Eh? And some people, one person had a problem with his family. He called us to try and sort it out. And he told me, I am food. Eh? For example, he said that for lunch, every day, if the food was prepared before and warmed for lunch, I don't eat it. It must be cooked. And before our mothers were like that, I remember as a small boy, I can remember my mother getting up at 1 o'clock. Many of us will remember. They should light that coal stove. And they should cook fresh food. And then serve the whole family. And then don't go and sleep till the kitchen is clean. All the dishes are washed. Everything is done. After that, they will go and sleep. But today, it's everything ready. And at this point, many people don't like this, but what has to be said, has to be said. Our alimas also have become really career women. They also want everything ready. The way they were studying, they didn't prepare. Don't pick up a spoon, so to say. They do nothing. And many marriages, where afterwards one person just wrote that problem, alima and alim marriage, and the counselor, a Muslim man, good man, he gave them good advice, and then he told, I can't understand that marriage problems are mostly between alimas and their husbands. She said, other people who come in suit, tie, Muslim people, they got some other problem, a drug problem, some financial problems. But the alimas' problems are marriage problems. Because they're not used to housework in the least. But so then that is like so that couple, when they got married, they went for a honeymoon. After the honeymoon, after 1, 2, 3 days, she phoned the mother, come and fetch me. That I can't stay here. You just married now. What happened? You just back from your honeymoon. He's using swear words on me all the time, four letter words. What is he saying? He's saying me to, telling me to wash. He's telling me to clean. He's telling me to iron. He's using these terrible words on me. I can't take you. So they're just not used to that at all. So to become an alima is not to become a career woman. And that we got nothing. A woman is a housewife. And she has to be a mother. She has to be a wife first. She has to be a housewife. And these are great, honorable things. To be a wife is an honorable thing. To be a housewife is an honor. Then she has to be a mother. She is not a career woman and out on the roads all the time. Today, alimas, then we are teaching this madrasa, driving and teaching in that madrasa, driving and teaching in that madrasa, marriage, divorce. What are we teaching then? So Allah Ta'ala, anyway, Ramzan was a great month. Let us appreciate it and carry forward. Basic accounting, we all know that what we earned in the month, what we spent, now you made a profit, then you say balance, carry it forward. Now there should be balance brought forward also. It mustn't be Ramzan for in Shawwal now, the new month, and no balance brought forward. No, bring it forward also. Then whatever we have earned, now start using it and improve our life. By next Ramzan, our life must be better than it was in the previous year. Next Ramzan, we go in a better mode into Ramadan. And we go in a higher level. If Allah gives us 10, 15, 20, 30 Ramadans, we can imagine that real Eid is for such a person who built himself spiritually all the time. He didn't earn and just... You go to earn money in places where you can make quickly a lot of money. People go to Saudi, go to Dubai, etc., go to other places. And when they come back, if they leave all the money there, then what did you work for? So just like that, Ramzan, we close the doors of Ramzan now. My tilawat is closed now. My duas are closed now. Rozas are closed. It's all in Ramzan. Now after Ramzan, we're just going back again and to where we were, or even in a lower level. No, let us improve. Allah give me, give us all tawfiq, inshallah, that the end come, and if it comes naturally, that how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if my ummah knew what Ramadan is, they will want the whole year to be Ramadan. And really there is no doubt. Today we made our Asr namaz, last Asr namaz, that is multiplied by 70 by Allah. Tomorrow's Asr, today's Maghrib, is not going to be there. Now that we're sitting and listening to a talk of Deen, every optional action is the value of a farz of Ramadan. Tomorrow if we sit and the whole day we have Bayan, it will never be the value of this. Which comes clearly, a person who misses one day of Roza of Ramadan, then whole life he can keep Roza, he can't, according to Sharia, Fiqh, you want Roza, you didn't keep it, you keep one Roza, it's done. But the value of it, the spiritual value, that whole life's Roza can't be equal to this one Roza of Ramadan, one Namaz of Ramadan. Ramadan was that great honorable month. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq to appreciate and that we, the end of it comes nicely, and our final end, all will be returning home, many people, we will be thriving. We thrive carefully, Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah, let us not rush, etc. And our du'as are very important. Our very being a very cautious, very careful, and very considerate driver can't stop us from accidents also. The other person, that when we were young, and my marhum father should say, when you come to a traffic light and it's green, you must be also careful. I say, it's green. He said, but the other person doesn't stop. So I say, it's his fault. He says, it's his fault, but you land in the graveyard. You land 6 months in hospital. You can prove it's his fault. But how lot of problems. So just being a little bit careful. But with all that also, it's not in our dual. Today we use deen that I'm deendar. But we don't use deen that I'm in need of deen. That dunya, the laws of the country, that will help to protect us. Protocols which non-Muslims made for the virus, all that, that we think will protect us. But the du'as will protect us. We read du'as because I'm a good Muslim, I'm a devoted Muslim. But I haven't got that yaqeen that du'as are going to protect me. That Allah will protect me. I give a show that I'm a Muslim, I do everything also. And lot of people, lot of acts of deen we do. But we are not muhtaj of deen, we favor on deen. That we are practicing deen. That we must do this. But that I'm in need of deen. I can't drive my car without dua. I can't step out without reading Bismillah. I need the help of Allah. And with all our precaution and being the best driver, we can't save ourselves from accidents also. And finally, at the end, whatever Allah decrees happens. But our greatest precaution is not being good drivers, taking precaution, but our du'as and our trust on Allah Ta'ala. That is the greatest thing. And even after that, if something went wrong, it's only good for us. Then there is nothing wrong. But we didn't take our precautions of du'as, trusting in Allah Ta'ala. We trusted in asbab. And we made asbab, arbab. We made them our gods. Then if something went wrong, we are gone. We are gone then. And if we trusted in Allah, and still Allah decreased it, فَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدْ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Everything Allah, His control is above everything. And when He decrees something, even you read your Ayatul Kursi, even you read your du'as, when Allah meant something to happen, the malaika who are there for your protection, they also move aside. The decree of Allah is absolute and final. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, la adri ma yuf'alu bi. I don't know what will be done with me also on the day of Qiyamah. Whereas 100% guaranteed, but the attitude that I don't know what was going to have to be done with me also. So that we should have. So we are muhtaj of deen. Deen is not muhtaj. And deen doesn't need us that we just make a smearing of deen in our life. That we just read some du'as here, we dress like Muslim. I'm in need to dress as a Muslim. It's not my favor. La tamunnu alayya islamakum. Don't tell me that you are doing a favor for me with your Islam and you are doing a favor. You are muhtaj. Walakin Allah yamunnu. Allah Ta'ala showers His favors upon you. Well, Allah is not in need of us. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. With regard to this ayat and the reality and the fact, Allah give us to understand that just like Allah Ta'ala says, Shahrul Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. What a month it is. What values, what treasures in this month. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the Rasul of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us understand just a few aspects and on our own, give it more thought and let us appreciate. And the natural reaction must be just durood comes on our tongue. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazallahu anna Muhammadan bima huwa ahlu. Durood should come on our tongue. Sunnah should come on our tongue. We should die for the sunnah. Today we see Allah, we all should make lot of dua for Palestine also, at the moment the conditions there. But we see that they're little children. They've got nothing else. An empty garbage bag, dustbin bag, that also they're throwing at the soldiers. Is it the soldiers, the Israeli soldiers, they've got ammunition, live ammunition. But what they got, just that empty bag also that they found, that they threw. But we just get little note that third wave virus closed the masjid. Anything, close the masjid, close the madrasas, all deeny things. Dunya must still carry on. Gambling places can carry on. Prostitute places can carry on. But no, close the masjid. Masjids must be closed. We should take a lesson from them and make a lot of dua for the Muslims in all. Bangladesh, difficult. How many ulama are being jailed now? And just for standing up for the truth. In Morocco, people, just because they're making tarawih, they're firing with live ammunition at them. And these are all what are called Muslim countries. And all this is happening. So a lot of du'as are required. And with this condition, how can we really be celebrating also? How can we be so happy? Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahmatullah alayhi, the first righteous khalifa, the whole town, all the people were enjoying. And he's in charge of the Baytul Mal. And his children, no new clothes. They were crying. And the mother feels it. The children are coming, that all our friends, our neighbors, they got new clothes, new shoes, new this. And our children, nothing. And they're the royal family. So then the governor came, the treasurer. He says, it is permissible, and there is more than enough money. You can take your 1 month's salary in advance. He became so angry. He said, can you give me my guarantee that I'll live to work for that 1 month? And when there was such a time, that when he said, spend the money which is excess in the state treasury, spend it on this people, spend it on those people, spend it on the everything, still there is excess, barakat from Allah. Then he said, take and buy wheat and throw it on the mountain tops, that it mustn't be said that the birds in the Muslim Khilafat, Muslim country, stayed hungry. But for his own house, no shoes for his children. No clothes for his children. Now, Allah Ta'ala give us also understanding and tawfiq that what this Islam and who Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallam, the greatest favor of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we can never appreciate it now. At the time when there were 360 idols in the Kaaba Sharif, at that time he brought Tawheed alive. And Tawheed he has given us, oneness of the existence of Allah. People don't know. Even the mushriks knew of the existence. They believed. They were mushriks. They were not kafirs. Kafirs also in a sense, but they were mushriks. They believed in Allah. They believed in their idols also. Today, how much do we really believe? And when Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, Ya Ayyuhan Nas, قولوا لا إله إلا الله تفلحوا. He said, I've come with one kalima. If you accept it, the world will be subjugated to you people, the Arabs. They said, not one. Tell us 10 such, we are prepared. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا إله إلا الله تُعْحِيد, believe in one Allah. Today we also believe. But if Abu Jahl knew that with our kind of belief, you can read kalima, it's still valid also. He should also have read it. That you read kalima and still you don't trust in Allah. You trust on your insurance. You trust on your medical aid. You trust on everything else. All other things you trust on. And it's your kalima itself. It's made in Germany. It is guaranteed. No matter what happens, your kalima can't break. Your kalima is your kalima. You can do what you want to, but your kalima can't break. But this Tawheed, Allah Ta'ala let us understand. And who brought this? And from what conditions Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us this Tawheed? I must make shukr we got the words of the kalima. That is still on our tongue. Allah made it easy, we can still read it. And we have got this Tawheed. And this is in everything. If we have Tawheed, Allahu Akbar. What and what won't we be saved off from? When a person hasn't got this belief in Allah and he hasn't got belief in Tawheed, you will find him like what is a mushrik, what is a harjai, who goes to every door, begging at every door. A muwahid goes to one door, the door of Allah Ta'ala. When in the time of Mullah Jeevan, the king wanted to build a road, a highway, and his house was coming in between his little hut. So he was coming with all his, the government people, the road to building people, with whatever they had, our time, bulldozers and that. They pulled up their sleeves to fight him. He also pulled up his sleeves. But he pulled up his sleeves for wudu. And he asked for his weapons, which was his musalla, which was his miswak, which was his lota to make wudu. Those were his weapons. So if you become a yakjai, one who believes in one Allah, any problem you turn to him. In the time of Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullah alayh, a little girl in the family had eye problems. And a great eye specialist from UK had come to Delhi. And he was being spoken about very highly, that he is very good. Maulana said, not in my life did I go to a non-Muslim for treatment. And in fact, these people didn't even go to Muslims. Allah was their doctor. And when they got sick, they said, my doctor made me sick, who must I go to? So Maulana, he never went. And the family people, it's a matter of the eye. We all know if my little daughter, my little girl, she's got an eye problem, and whole life she's going to be with that problem. Now, and it's jai, 100%, any mufti will give fatwa. But he said, I never went. So he told one, Mewati was a great Allahwala. And Mewatis were fida. They were totally devoted to Hazrat and his family. So he told him, if this daughter of mine, her eyes are not well by the morning, you watch out. And they had that love also. The duas he made at night, by the morning her eyes were better. No doctor, no nothing. What that specialist could never even have done anything. And really all these church people who have that pranks, and the person they advertise who comes on a wheelchair, he goes out walking. All those funny pranks of theirs. Really Allah give us that tawheed. That we believe in Allah is the doer. And everything is in the hands of Allah. And there are so many instances in our history. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us about akhirat. Otherwise we were just living for dunya, living for this world. But today, what is my belief, my yaqeen on akhirat? The benefit of rands and cents, so much cents we can save. Petrol price is going up by so many cents. I make it a point, I must go and fill up. I must save those few cents per liter. But my sawabs that I'm getting extra in Ramadan, for doing this nafil ibadat, for doing that mustahab, that doesn't mean anything to me. So our yaqeen on akhirat, that also, who taught us? Where we have known? Allah sent Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after Allah blessed him so much and gave him so high stages, and he should still make namaz, so much namaz, we just small excuse, sit on the chair. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's legs are swelling up, and he's still standing and making namaz. And he says, afala akuna abdan shakura. When he sits and eats, it's in a squatting position. And then he says that I'm just a slave. And the way we sit on our chairs, tomorrow is there. How many of us will be sitting at our dining table with the chairs, with the rest for the arms on the side? And the way we will be eating. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, just in a squatting position. Just a few little morsels he should have. Allahu Akbar. So Allah give us tawfiq, that yaqeen. And who taught us this? Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the taqdeer. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught us our whole iman. Not iman in mufassal only. Those are the main points. In there also we have got so much weaknesses. But the whole iman in mufassal, iman on taqdeer. Today we have forgotten that we are Muslims. We have forgotten that we are humans. In India, what the people are doing, the Hindus, covering themselves with cow dung and drinking urine and thinking they will get safe from this virus. And just one point of information, one very good friend of ours, married to a revert, a Hindu lady who accepted Islam many years ago. She warned in her gathering, she says, don't eat the Hindu food. Hindus cannot do without sprinkling urine on that food. Whether it's the mithais they make, whether it is anything else, they have to sprinkle their urine on it. And we think our Hindus, our neighbors, good people, and we just accept and we eat and that. Today one person delivered something non-Muslim, and then he told me, happy Eid for you tomorrow. Then I'm just thinking, we, Allah make us maaf in those days of ignorance also. We will also tell a Christian, happy Christmas, happy Xmas, happy New Year. And we will think, really, if we think at it from a dunya's point of view, out of this circle, now we're in a different frame of mind. When we were those people, what's wrong in telling somebody that? He's your worker, he's your neighbor, he's your friend, your customer, happy Christmas for you. And how many Muslim firms tell now, we have Christmas trees in our businesses, and we wish well, but look at it from a Sharia point of view, from Quran, to their kufr things, we are wishing them happy on their kufr. So much so, Mufti Ahmed Khan Puri, Dawud Barakatum says, if a person comes to you and says, I want to accept Islam, and you tell him, think about it again, your iman is in jeopardy, because you are satisfied and happy that he still stays in kufr. That he wants to accept Islam. You must be encouraging him. And don't discourage. Don't be negative that he won't be practicing again. And all that. He wants to accept Islam. Let him accept. So Allah Ta'ala give us on taqdeer, the trust on Allah Ta'ala. Full trust on Allah. All our imaniyat. And who taught us iman? And what lengths to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went? Allah's Nabi. He is the prize, the chose, the greatest in the creation of Allah, the most closest to Allah. But going to Taif, what was his condition? In Makkah Sharif, making sajda at the Kaaba, and how they come and throw all dirt and filth on Nabi, throwing thorns and stones in his way. He went through all this. Otherwise, he could have said, I make my own ibadah. This is now too much for me. Today we don't want to tell our wife anything. We tell the Maulana, the Imam, we say, but don't take my name. That you must tell my son this, but don't take my name. We don't want to do anything. We just want to be, live it up in this dunya. To let somebody else go through all the difficulties. But our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how he went out of his way. So Muhammad, who taught us what is the status of woman? What was the condition of woman? People speak of woman's rights, of woman's love, their liberation, etc. Not only in those days, now too, who has given woman liberation? Nobody but Islam. Nobody but Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who said that Jannat lies under the feet of your mother? What does that mean? Serve your mother. Make her so happy that you serve her completely. Who said that if you look at your father, you get the sawab of one maqbool hajj? That you respect and honor your father. And who they made the fathers like monkeys and baboons and go and throw them in a zoo in an old age home? And once a year when we get chance, we'll come and visit you there. And then also you mustn't complain, we are paying your fees for staying in the old age home. We are doing everything. And we, our Muslims, with the corona, that the burial committees, you see to my father, everything, you just give me the account. That we are not prepared to give ghusl, not to be present also. Even though they are doing it and they covering that in the plastic and that also, then we don't want to be present. We go to our mother's house and we don't want to come in the house. We just greeting from the garden, from the gate. From the gate and telling them, we just came and visit you, but corona, yeah, I can't come and visit you. And what did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam teach us? And this one alim of Peter Maritzburg, both his parents, mother and father, got corona. This is right at the beginning, the first. And then he was treating them, looking after them. When they had to be hospitalized, he took them, he hugged them before they went into the hospital. People saw it, they say, we won't allow you to come to the masjid. We won't allow you to teach our children until you don't take a corona test. He took a test, negative. Though he was hugging his mother, father, working with them, serving them. So it's in Allah's hands. Who taught us this? Muhammadur Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah let us appreciate. Who taught us how to live in society? Who taught us the adab and etiquette? Who taught us ibadat? Who taught us sajda? Where should we have known what is ruku? Where should we have known Rabb Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim? Who taught us all these things? Who taught us to do business in such a way that you make very little effort and make big profits and full barakat in there? And today we have given that up and we're doing all business in the ways we want to. All our things, and we are slogging and we are working, we are tensed all the time, we are having problems all the time, workers are not working right, suppliers are not supplying, nobody is doing anything right, we are wrong. If we come onto the tariqah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with our little effort, and there are people today, and Allah makes it that you got one manager, he's handling all you hardly, only you have to get the cash in your hand. You just have to use the money, that's all you have to do. But on the other hand, you become slave. Today when we think it's an honor to become a mechanic and you're under the car all the time. And we forgot that our position was to sit in the car. Hey, that my great honor is to be under the car and working in the grease and in the oil and in the coal and all those conditions. My position was not even in the driver's seat, that I sit in the back seat and everything is done for me. The Muslim, الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. If we do our akhirat's work for which Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and taught us, the world will be at our feet. But today when we are falling at the feet of the world, we got no dunya. This dunya is the shadow of the akhirat. If you chase the shadow, you get nothing. Chase the akhirat, the shadow comes with. The shadow, غير منفق. It can't be separated from the ob. You chase akhirat and the dunya, the shadow is with you. But we chasing the shadow all the time. We are going in the wrong direction. We are going to our qabr and we are preparing for our dunya. Kidhar ja raha hai, kidhar dekh raha hai. Where are you going and where are you looking? So all this Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let us appreciate. Read Durood Sharif as much. Bring sunnahs into our lives. Go from here and all of us Allah give tawfiq to stand for the deen of Allah. Those who got khilafat, who haven't got khilafat, make majlis. Call the people to deen. Associate with the ulama. Go out in jamaat and spread the deen of Allah Ta'ala. Make the deen to come alive. And not just for our leisure and just as an outward show, but in reality, our du'as, that is, nobody can have an excuse in that. Du'as for the ummah, what is happening in Palestine, in France, in Sri Lanka, in India, what is happening. Masjids are turned into covert centers. Masjid is not meant for that. Masjid is for the amale masajid, for the amal of the masajid. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam came and took out all the idols from the Kaaba Sharif. We putting all the idols back in the Kaaba Sharif. All the wrong beliefs we are putting back here. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and appreciate, accept our Ramadan. Whatever little shortcomings, not little, all our shortcomings, we are full of shortcomings. May Allah forgive. And our little we tried, Allah is most appreciative. May He fully accept it and make it an accepted Ramadan for us and accept it at the kaaf and make our islah and let us move towards Allah and the love of His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Read Durood Sharif, read, make tawbah istighfar, bring the sunnahs in our lives. Spread the sunnahs from tomorrow on each day. Bring it and in the wisdom of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything, whether it was liquor that was made haram, it wasn't just one command, but the iron first. Whether it was parda for the woman, it wasn't just don't go home and start giving big orders now. That we are the big authorities now. And we are big Sufis now. No, consider the family also. And we'd work with them. Bring the work to bring them in. Don't have that attitude that they hate us, that they wish next Ramzan come, that next Ramzan he can go whole 40 days out of our life. And as long as we got peace at home. Now let us live such a way that they miss us when we're not there. Not that they're just too happy we're out of the way. Always he's just picking on us. And he's a big Sufi and he's just finding fault with us. That should not be the case. Allah give us all tawfiq. Make our du'as now a valuable time. And this is the last, the most valuable time. Allah give us tawfiq, inshaAllah. Subhanallah.